Hi, I'm Allison Shelton, writer and creator of the Indie Comic Reburn. You may have heard about us on Indie Comic Spotlight, thanks to Tony and Rhea. Reburn follows May, a superpowered woman who takes on the cult-like utopian society that ripped her life apart. Our comic picks up when she's ready to burn it all down. We're incredibly proud of our all-female team. Myself, artist Elise McCall, editor Jessica Patel, colorist Hillary Jenkins, and letterer Joamette Gill. Renowned comic writer and artist Kari Andrews said of Reburn, "It's an impressive debut, a violent, visceral, and emotion-fueled spectacle. A story you need to read right now." We agree. And we have hard copies and digital copies of issues 1-4 available on our website, reburncomic.com. That's reburncomic.com. Check it out.
Welcome to A Dummy's Guide to Geekdom, a show that tries to give everyone a crash course on geek culture. Whether you're trying to understand some trends, know enough to start a conversation with a friend, or you just want to know what the hell someone is talking about, we are here for you. I am your super dummy, Paul, and today I am joined by 20th century geek himself. It is Mr. Scott Weverley. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Good. Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
I'm quite excited to talk about the things today. So it's, imparting knowledge is you know, I'm here to impassion people, and that's what I'm excited to do. So,
That's what we like. We like sharing our love with people.
Yeah.
Which sounds slightly wrong.
Yeah, in the right way, you know, Not inappropriate. Not in a sort of, you know, yeah.
No, we are very...
In a consensual way. Everyone exactly. Being here, yes, that's it.
We are consensual and above board here.
That's right.
Yes, it's already gone off the rails. Right. Today, we are talking about a wonderful character, which is very apt because we have just had a TV show about this lovely character. It is Moon Knight. Now, For those of you who have been listening for a long time, you will know that we did do a Superheroes for Dummies episode on Moon Knight. So... I would say I know nothing. That's not entirely true.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything at the time. He's one of those characters. I haven't had a chance. I'm going to be honest. I haven't had a chance to read much of Moon Knight since then because we carried a lot of characters.
Yes.
A fascinating one, I think.
Yeah.
Is a good way of putting it.
He really is. He's Moon Knight is one of those characters in Marvel that sort of like he dances on that sort of like C to B tier, hero and sort of dances between those two. He's never really made it to the top tier. And I don't think he ever will. But he sort of sits in that sort of like the next couple of tiers down where you can get away with more. You know, he can have sort of quite unusual series and often they'll have like a run that does really well. And all of a sudden, the interest peaks and, for a little while he's up and we get, some extra comics. I mean, at the moment, he's riding high at the moment, is old Mooney. He's got his own run written by Jed McKay. They've just had a 4-issue series. Was it Red, White and Blood?
All right.
You know, they did one with Wolverine, they did one for Electra, yeah. Then had Moon Knight. That was very good. He's now appearing, he guest starred with Miss Marvel, and he's appeared in, he's sort of cameoing in other comics again at the moment. We're getting quite a lot of Moon Knight at the moment. So I think it is because of the TV show. I think it sort of raised his profile a little bit.
That's interesting. Do you think with all these appearances, they're trying to sort of, I don't know, see how he may do if they boost him up a little bit, try and bring him into one of the bigger names?
Yeah, I do think so. I think they're sort of, it's interesting because over his career or over his sort of like publishing history, he sort of, everyone says, oh, he's a loner, he does this, or he's whatever. But forgetting he was in West Coast Avengers, he was in the main Avengers at one point in the 90s, he literally handed his card back in. Then he was in the Secret Avengers and stuff like that. So it's not like he's unknown to to be at that level. It's just, yeah, he's always been like a bit of a side player. But I think what it seems today that Marvel has really sort of carved out niches. You know, they've got that sort of, you've got your Avengers, your main sort of, you know, your main bunch, and that can sort of change a little bit. Then you've got your sort of, I don't say kids, but you've got your quirky thing, and they've got like Young Avengers or those sorts of things, you know, Ms. Marvel and Miles Morales and all that sort of stuff. And then they've got these sort of like weird, darker heroes, like, you know, they sort of put, I mean, Ghost Rider's back again this year and got a good run, but you have like, they're doing Midnight Suns again, and you know, they have these characters, and Moon Knight sort of fits into there, where it's sort of like, oh, we can do some weird stuff, you know, and it's sort of, that's the audience that we're going for. So we haven't got to sort of, you know, bother anybody else in these other pools. We can just sort of mess around over here, and he sort of interacts with a lot of those, or at least within that sort of area, which is always quite good fun.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's rewind. Apparently, I can't speak anymore. So Moon Knight, first appearance. Apparently, all the way back in 1975, Werewolf by Night issue 32, created by, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, is it Doug Mensch? Munch?
Yeah, Doug Munch, I think Munch. It's called. It is, yeah, yeah.
And Don Perlin.
Yes.
So tell us about the wonders of Moon Knight and how he began.
Well, yeah, he's got a checkered history. He's got a checkered origin, more importantly. So, yeah, he appeared in Werewolf by Night 32. And in that, he is Mark Spector, but he's not the Moon Knight we would now know. So he's a villain. He's an antagonist to the wonderfully named Jack Russell, is the Werewolf by Night. He's hired by a group of... He's a mercenary that's hired by a group of people called the Committee, and they give him, like, werewolf fighting... outfit, regalia, which includes, like, you know, silver knuckle dusters, and they give him this outfit. Like, and they, well, if you fight a werewolf, you know, you might as well have a moon kind of thing. So they give him his costume, and he sort of they give him the name Moon Knight. And even that in that comic in issue 32, like, Mark Spector's like, well, this is ridiculous. What a silly name this is. And so he's hired to take on. Take down Jack Russell, and he does. He captures him and he brings him back to the Committee. But then, when he realizes what the Committee are going to do, he actually lets the werewolf out, and they fight with the Committee, and he gets away. And Moon Knight actually takes the money and runs, like, literally fights, nice. And then sort of releases Jack Russell, and then runs off with the money. And that was it. Like, that was originally sort of the intent. That was all. It was just a, you know, a sort of a mini arc, two issues, because it covers 32 and 33, and that was originally the idea. But Doug Munch actually said, you know, in interviews later, he said, well, we loved the design, and we sort of thought that there's something more to this character. Like, there's, you know, he feels like we should have more of it. Like, he was accompanied not just on his own; he was accompanied by Frenchie or Jean-Paul Deschamps, who sort of, like, was his comrade, flew his helicopter for him, he's his pilot. Right. So they were like, well, they've got this sort of fleshed out idea, this partnership. Like, so who, you know, what else is it? And so Marvel allowed them to test the waters, as it were. So the following year in Marvel Spotlight, they redeem him and actually make him a hero. So they sort of, you know, keep the costume, and they have this story arc where he takes on Conquer Lord. It's fine. It's all well and good. It reads like a 70s comic. You know, it feels like that Silver Age, not quite Bronze Age kind of sort of, you know, comic where it's sort of like, it's good, it's fine, but it still has that little bit of silly elements to it. And again, so he seemed popular, and it sort of, like, it seemed to do well. And so he started to pop up in different things. Like, he popped up in the Avengers, not the Avengers, sorry, the Defenders. He did a sort of... a stint with the Thing, you know, they did the Thing and, and he popped up in several other sort of comics, and so that was it. Again, it was sort of like he was starting to appear, much like he does now, that he starts to appear in things, but he still didn't have like a definitive history. Like, his history or his arc or his origin was still this. He was given his costume by the Committee, and that sort of stuck for ages. Because then he appeared in Doug Monch was finally paired up with the artist that would really truly define Moon Knight, Bill Sienkiewicz.
Okay.
So Bill Sienkiewicz, better known probably for some of his later work, New Mutants, work on Elektra, and the Question. You know, done a series of things. A fantastic artist, but this was his first Moon Knight. Was his first Marvel gig.
Right.
So he'd handed it literally.
Blimey.
Yeah, no. So he knew Neil Adams and he knew Denny O'Neill. Sorry, he knew Denny O'Neill, who was obviously the editor of this part of Marvel, and was editor of Hulk magazine, and so they wanted a character to have a backup for the comic. So it was going to be like a Hulk feature, then a backup story.
Right.
And they said, and Doug sort of proposed Moon Knight. And they said, fine, all right, here's this young up-and-coming artist who've seen some of his work. Literally, apparently, this is how it worked. Like, he'd been scouted, and he turned up at the sort of the Marvel offices, and they were like, you're free. Go work on Moon Knight. And so this was literally Bill Sienkiewicz's first art gig for Marvel. And so, yeah, he and Doug sort of wrote these backup pieces for Hulk magazine. The cape was redesigned, and you get this more modern version of Moon Knight, looking very sleek and very sort of. I love the art in this. It's sort of you can watch Bill Sienkiewicz's art grow and progress across his work on Moon Knight. It's fantastic, but it does well. It's darker, like within this thing. It's called Countdown to Midnight. They collected all these backup stories, and they called it Countdown to Midnight. And they run from, I think, 78, 79, I think this was in 78, 79. Okay. And yeah, they have all this kind of thing. There's ones with like there's a two issue part of it where he finds out his brother Randall Spector has become a serial killer and is killing nurses, and he ends up having to kill, spoiler, he ended up having to kill his brother.
Bloody hell.
And all this, yeah. But the thing was, you were getting all these pieces, like friendship was getting fleshed out. You'd now introduced his girlfriend. You know, he had all this money, so he was now, so you've introduced this other component as well within this Countdown to Dark of his personas. So originally, they were sort of like, so Mark Spector is the original. And let's say he's the biological, the figure. He was the original sort of person with Moon Knight. And then over time, they introduce Stephen Grant, who is sort of like the persona that he uses to interact with the well-to-do, like the elites of New York and stuff.
Right.
And he's like a stockbroker or a philanthropist, a bit of a Bruce Wayne kind of character. Hence, you'll start to get some of the Batman comparisons. And then the other one was Jake Lockley, who's this sort of mustachioed taxi driver who sort of like, you know, gets his information on the streets and he's down there in the gutter to sort of follow his leads and all that kind of stuff. And so you get in, and basically Mark Spector uses his skills as Moon Knight to fight justice. And so it was a success. And so they gave Moon Knight his own run in 1980. You get Moon Knight number one. And I think it's June 1980. And that's where like Doug Monch is like, right, cool. This is amazing. We've now got a proper run. This is brilliant. It's him and Bill Sienkiewicz. But they're like, okay, well, the first thing we should do is really sort of address his origins, because his origin makes no sense. Like, we've done all this stuff, and now sort of it doesn't make any sense. So let's refine it. Let's really bring this back down to over the first six issues. Like, the first issue provides a definitive origin. So, because what you in that sort of Countdown to Dark, the other thing that has been introduced is Khonshu. This is where I should probably explain things. So Khonshu is an Egyptian god of the moon, and it's now sort of like you find out that Moon Knight or Mark Spector is the avatar, the priest of Khonshu. But you still didn't really know why. So in this in issue one, they explain. So I shall explain.
So I didn't realize this. They started to bring in Khonshu even before they did the orange. That must have been very confusing.
Yeah, it was all like alluded to and stuff. It's all there, but it's sort of very mixed up and very sort of like the ideas are all there. And so it's when you get to issue one through six of that first run that they're like, right, we're going to give this definitive, but we're going to sort out, clean up his origin, And then we're going to start to sort of lay the groundwork and answer the questions that have sort of bubbled up over the last sort of like 5 years. So the origin they give me, that Mark Spector was a former soldier that turned mercenary. And then he was working with this guy called Roel Bushman, who's like this sort of like, he's a big sort of black guy, got tattooed face, pointy teeth, you know, real sort of like, they have him as this like badass kind of like mercenary that Mark follows. Mm-hmm. And they come across this archaeological dig in the Sudan. And they attack it thinking, you know, there's going to be gold and there's going to be artifacts that can be sold and all this other stuff. And Bushman tells them all to sort of mow down all these archaeologists. And Spector says, no, can't do that. So he turns on Bushman. There's a fight. Bushman wins and leaves Mark for dead in the desert. Like he decides not to kill him, just to leave him like majorly injured. Nice. And he'll die in the desert. Yeah, the desert will claim him. But he manages to sort of like pull himself into this temple. And under the gaze of Khonshu, he's revived. And he gets up and he pulls this sheet down. And he basically says, that sort of like, you know, Khonshu has given me life and I am now the sort of the avatar of vengeance. And that's his origin, you know. And so like, that's him becoming Moon Knight. Moon Knight is now the avatar or the priest of the Egyptian god Khonshu. And then so they went, okay, we've done that. Now we've got to address these other things. Right, who's Frenchie? Well, Frenchie was his fellow mercenary. Brilliant. Who's Marlene, that was his girlfriend that sort of has been around for time? Well, she was actually the daughter of one of the archaeologists that was killed. So,
right,
you know, they met through this kind of sort of like trauma. And so they introduced all these elements. And then eventually, I think it's issue 5, they address the committee and the whole Werewolf by Night 32.
Okay.
And they actually come round and say, like, well, I was already Moon Knight. But, you know, I wanted to investigate the committee because of their criminal acts and all this other stuff. So they sort of twist it around to make it out that it was him investigating right. them and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's sort of like, so by issue sort of 6, you have it all set up. You know, you've got Moon Knight with his personas, Mark, Stephen, and Jake. He's living with Marlene in this mansion, in the Grant Mansion. And you've got Frenchie that flies the helicopters. And then that's it. And then they're off to have these adventures, really. And that's sort of how your first iteration of Moon Knight comes about.
Wow. I mean, as far as confusing starts go, that's probably yeah. got to be one of the worst. Yeah. I mean, confusing.
Mm.
How does it start to come together then? What was it about Moon Knight that kind of spoke to you? Because I'm going to guess it wasn't the randomness of everything. It must have come together in a nice way.
It's in many ways it's a suitable origin story for me for Moon Knight. So in 2005 there was a run on Moon Knight written by Charlie Houston and drawn by Dave Finch. And it's beautiful. It's a great run. I mean, the first 6 issues is called The Bottom, and it's one of those definitive Moon Knight runs. It basically sort of like, you know, Moon Knight has been out of the picture for a little bit from Marvel Comics. And so it goes back and it has this idea of him being like a down and out. Like he's, you know, he's sort of like all the injuries over the years have sort of like messed up his knees. He's addicted to painkillers. And you find out more and more stuff about it. It's about him, this redemption of him pulling himself back to become Moon Knight. But it's like incredibly violent. It's really dark. It's really sort of messed up. So I was picking up these issues and going, this is good. I'm liking this. And I picked up some of those. In 2004, 2005, I was getting back into comics. I think I'd been away for a few years and I was getting back into comics. And I was in Whitby in the north on holiday. Nice. And there was a secondhand bookshop and I just popped in, and in the corner was this big cardboard box. And in it was like 10p a comic. Right? It was full of comics. It was 10p a comic. And I was just like, ooh! So I ran over, right? And I'm like, I want this. I spent like £5. Like, all these comics coming out, like, and like, there was some 2000 ADs in there. There was like all these other stuff. I bought some Nomad. I was like, oh, I'll try Nomad. That was a waste of time. But I also picked up a bunch of Moon Knight comics. And so I picked up a bunch of the original series, the Doug Munch, Bill Sienkiewicz. Mm. And then I picked up, I remember sort of picking up his second, or his third really, but the big His big run was one called Mark Spector, Moon Knight. And that ran for 60 issues in the 90s. And I picked up like five or six of those. So I just picked them up. Like, this is cool. I know Moon Knight. So I'll pick these up. 10p a comic. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, result.
Yeah. So I bought these comics and that was it. Like I just had this stack of them. And I was just working through this this stack of these cheap comics I'd bought. And I loved them. I really enjoyed them. I thought, oh, the Moon Knight, I love the design. I love this idea that was coming through. And so as even then, I started to look for collected editions. I was like, okay, well, you know, where can I get these? Mm. Where's there must be like a collected edition, like they were doing like the Essential Collection. You remember the Essential Editions they did?
Yeah.
The Essential Collections.
Yeah, vaguely,
it was on like newspaper print, and it was always black and white. Mm. So there was those, but they were really expensive because they were all out of print. And so the only way to really read Moon Knight comics was to track down and find like Moon Knight comics.
Well,
So that became sort of a bit of an obsession with me, where I was like, right, I've got to get them all now. I want to read them all. So, and I did. I now own every appearance of Moon Knight from 75 onwards. But yeah, it was just one of those. And now they're sort of releasing it. They've released sort of the Epic collections or the Complete collections. I think, you know, they're starting to release those, and they've got some omnibuses coming out which look really nice. So he, you know, those collected editions are starting to be released. But yeah, that was me hooked just on those ones. I found it sort of like, you know, so it was the Charlie Houston run that got me, and then the comics I found in Whitby that really sort of got me started.
Brilliant. Yeah, because I think it's something that people don't, when people first describe Moon Knight, it's kind of on the surface very, very strange.
Yes.
But as you sort of alluded to, there's all these different characters, and there's a lot of look into psychology as well, and there's a lot been said about Moon Knight. I mean, how does that play out in the pages? I mean, there's a lot more there than just basic stuff.
Well, one of the big thing, I think the thing you're alluding to is the sort of dissociative identity disorder that Mark eventually is diagnosed with. And this came about as a bit of not a mistake, because so originally I had those personas, I spoke about them, you have like Mark, and then you have Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley.
Mm.
And so within the sort of that first 38 issue run, there's at least two issues where, you know, it's alluded to that sort of Mark is a bit, for want of a better phrase, crazy.
Mm.
You know, and when he sort of moves from persona to persona, like Marlene, his girlfriend, likes Stephen Grant. So she'll refer to him as Stephen.
Mm.
She likes that persona because he's rich, he's nice, he's clean, you know, that sort of thing. And she doesn't like Mark because she associates Mark with her father's death. And she doesn't like Jake because Jake's rude. Right? But they're all the same guy. They're just personas. This isn't personalities at this point. They're just personas. But there are moments where he'll be changing personality and she'd be like, be careful, Stephen. And he'd be like, you know, quiet, doll, I'm Jake now, that sort of thing, you know, right. Sort of alluding to it. And it builds and builds until there's a bit of a... she confronts him and basically says, like, you can't keep doing this switching and changing. It's not good for you. Like, you know, you're going to get lost in these personas. And that's sort of an issue, is him being lost in these personas. But they get left by the wayside in both The Follow, which is Fist of Khonshu, and... Mark Spector, Moon Knight. They don't really come up. Like they are mentioned a couple of times, but it doesn't really come up. And it's not until, like, so the end of the 60 issue run, spoilers, Moon Knight dies again, sacrifices himself to save the day. But he is resurrected yet again and comes back for these two short runs. And then the personas are brought back in that. And then, sort of, as I said, that Charlie Houston run sort of plays with it. You know, Mark Spector is sort of killed off, but he's replaced by Jake Lockley. But not, again, just sort of a persona. It's not really until, you know, everyone says, oh, it's always been there. They've sort of been alluded at, but it's not really until, Warren Ellis in 2014. Oh, wow. Really, they really lay on this thing of like, oh, he has dissociative identity disorder.
Mm.
And actually that these three people are actually all alters personal to personalities inside this one host, this one body. And so, yeah, so then it sort of plays out and sort of, you know, it's grown from there until you get, they are now just there. Like it's accepted. He has DID, and which is made worse by the fact that like Khonshu is now gone from being possibly an Egyptian god to being an interdimensional deity that has sort of like given him brain damage, which has made his DID worse. And yeah, it gets more and more complicated again. But so yeah, it's not straightforward.
No, blimey, definitely not. Yeah, I mean, for those people who are out there thinking that, you know, superhero comics are just about, you know, fighty-fighty, punchy-punchy, this kind of goes a little bit beyond that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's one in particular. Jeff Lemire is a fantastic writer anyway. And this is sort of like a... So he did a 14-issue run in 2016 and 2017 with Greg Smallwood. And the whole point of this run is... Mark, Jake, and Steven sort of having to deal with their situation. You know, so they have to sort of reconcile as personalities and then deal with the fact that they are sort of beholden to Khonshu. And so it's got all this, it's got some, like, it goes crazy. Like they bring in different artists to represent elements of the different characters. You've got like, Stoko and Francisco Francavilla comes in to play like, So, you know, you'll have like a page that's sort of like Greg Smallwood and that's following Mark. And then the next one's Jake. And it's still a continuation, but it's done by Francisco Francavilla. So it's an amazing run, but it's real psychological stuff. Like it really is addressing, it gets into the roots of where his DID came from. It gets into the roots of like what the trauma was, or at least alludes to what the trauma was that caused this disassociation. And it goes into like his time in the army and how that made it worse. And yeah, it's fascinating. So it's a great run. It's an amazing run.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, what I would usually say here is if you have any questions, send them in, but I think you're probably guaranteed to have some questions. So for all the questions you have, contact details for Scott are in the show notes. So you just to send them all to him. That'll make his day.
Essay level responses to everything.
So if there is sort of one, I don't know, one run or one issue or one thing that people, you would say to people, seek this out, what would you say it would be?
Moon Knight breaks into what we call vintage and modern. And I think the Warren Ellis run 2014 sort of is the differentiate. And unfortunately, I know that, you know, Warren Ellis is you know, we don't want to be giving him money, but if you can get that, that's the starting point. Warren Ellis and Declan Shelby's run, six-issue run, is a turning point. Beyond that, I would say just get through the runs, sort of like go through. You've got all kinds of people coming in to do stuff. Like I said, there's Jeff Lemire, most recently Jed McKay, and... what's his name? I forget now. But yeah, there's some great stuff. But that's all. Go back, just go back. I mean, like I said, they've all been released now. They've got the Epic collections or the complete collections. Just go try some of them out.
One of those characters. Jump in. It's good to evolve with.
Yes. Oh yeah, definitely. The only run I would say avoid is Brian Michael Bendis's run because that's cack. And I shall leave it at that.
Well, there you go. There's a perfect message to end on. That run is cack. But the rest, definitely seek out.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, yes, if you are listening, if you have any more questions, please do. Contact details will be in the show notes for myself and for Scott. As you can tell, my answers will mostly be, I don't know, let me Google it or ask Scott. If you have any questions about any of the other characters or groups or anything that Scott has mentioned, send them in as well. And then maybe we'll do an episode on them because there's some big names that have been name dropped there. If you want to know more, do send that in. Scott, thank you so much. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me. Yeah, check Scott out. All the details will be in the show notes. His wonderful podcast, 20th Century Geek, and Stories Out of Time and Space. Do check them out. And we will see you next time.
Bye.